This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Cincinnati is among the worst in the nation for childhood poverty. However, there are many programs in the greater Cincinnati area that are working to help individuals and families break out of poverty. And here to talk about these programs and the work they do are Brighton Center Senior Director of Family Economic Success, Melissa Hall Summer, Santa Maria Community Services Income Impact Director, Chelly McClellan, and WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Reporter Lucy May, who has written extensively on poverty and the WCPO Digital Below the Line Examining Childhood Poverty series. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chelly, Lucy, and Melissa, good to see everybody this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Melissa, start off by telling us some about the Brighton Center, how that organization got its start, and the kinds of work that you're doing out there in the community.
Well, Brighton Center started in 1966. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary. And we started out as a summer program dealing with the influx of Appalachian families moving into Newport. So at our very core and our very root, we started really dealing with folks that were living in poverty and dealing with transition. So started as a summer recreation program and an emergency food pantry, and have grown to one of the most comprehensive organizations in Northern Kentucky. And we serve comprehensively and look at poverty from lots of dimensions and looking at the whole family.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been, how long has Brighton Center been out there?
Since 1966.
66, mm-hmm. Okay. And how many people in the community have you served? Do you know?
Oh, yes, last year we served over 70,000 individuals.
Wow.
Through 34 program areas.
Okay. And Chelly, tell us some about your organization.
So Santa Maria has been around since 1897. It was founded by the Sisters of Charity, Sister Blandina, and we were serving Italian immigrants in the beginning, and now we're continuing to serve immigrants as they come into the community of Price Hill. We're located in Price Hill, East Price Hill, and last year we served close to 3,500 individuals.
One of the things that I think is so great about both Brighton Center and Santa Maria, and I'm cheating because I wrote about each of these organizations as part of the Below the Line series, but one of the things that they kind of have in common that I think is so great is both organizations work really hard to pivot and shift when it comes time to serve their communities. So when the community need changes, when the community kind of customers change, when the population changes, both organizations make very thoughtful shifts into how to serve those communities. They don't just keep doing the same things they've always done because they've always done them. They really pay attention to the communities they serve, listen to the people they serve, and what those people say they need to take the steps that they want to take to help themselves and their families.
Chelly, we've got the statistics about how bad childhood poverty is in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Based on what you're seeing, what your organization sees, you think those statistics are right? Is it a serious problem that we're facing?
I do. And of those statistics, I would say they're higher in East and Lower Price Hill, probably the highest in Lower Price Hill. And there are so many. I heard the segment before. All of the components that I heard earlier do really lend to the growing problem of poverty. There just aren't adequate. The education system has failed our students in many ways. The justice system. So one of the things that I heard earlier was, you know, as folks are coming out of incarceration, trying to get back into the workforce, well, what we see, we have a lot of targeted services for 16 to 24-year-olds. They get into a cycle of debt to the justice system So it's almost like a debtor's prison. So if you get picked up for, let's say, you have a marijuana charge, so you now have you have fees to the court system, you have fees for representation, and those all start building. And getting out even from underneath those fees, much less the stigma that's attached, can be difficult. We're approaching it from several different directions. So we see it as a continuum. So we're a multi-generational program. We serve pregnant moms, young children, all the way up through folks over the age of 50. We really hope to help the early childhood component piece, kids get prepared for kindergarten, be on track for third grade reading, graduate from high school, because that's a huge predictor for future earning potential, and then learn how to earn it, keep it, grow it. So in all that we do, it's an Annie EKC model that says we not only want you to help to figure out your career pathway or your educational pathway, we want you to better understand financial systems and how to keep the resources you're earning and how to grow them. And most of our families don't have access to those financial, the most sophisticated resources that many other families do. And so we're really targeting several new programs that are going to be coming in the next year also focused on that.
So do you see boosting preschool as a part of the solution?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's, you know, the best bang for your buck is in that space of 0 to 5. The neural development that happens, the neural pruning that happens. If we can make sure that every child has access to the best quality first 5 years of life, the trajectory there is astronomical as a positive outcome in their lifetime. The other piece we struggle with, which I just even saw some, you know, was reading a little bit more about today and heard it on the news this morning, I think on your radio station, was the whole lead exposure. Mm-hmm. Lower Price Hill has some of the worst lead exposure in the city and the state. And so the more that we can mitigate the lead for our young children in Lower Price Hill and East Price Hill, the better. So that just adds to a loss of cognitive development and potential in a lifetime.
Melissa, based on what you see, your organization, I mean, what are the serious issues and the challenges that you're seeing?
We really look at the whole family. And every child who's in poverty is sitting in the middle of a family that comes around them. And with all the joys and supports that come with that, the challenges come to that child as well. And so we think about children in poverty, and sometimes we see those pictures of a child standing alone. But we're seeing the whole family, and it's how we deal and bundle services around the whole family. So it's looking at all those things, and we talk about our Financial Opportunity Center, where we're looking at how we really looking at early childhood education as a work support, and how that is so important to families to have a quality place for their children to be while they're working. And it's about looking at employment opportunities. It's about looking at financial coaching and financial development, because in the long term, it's really about how are we helping people not only get that job, because it doesn't end there. Some people feel like, oh, they have a job, done. But it's really about how do they deal with that next crisis, and how are they building assets so that they don't fall back into that place where they're struggling. And it's really looking at how do we take people from crisis to stability to self-sufficiency, and what does self-sufficiency look like in those components. So our bundling of services really tries to meet families where they are. It looks at the whole family. How are we looking at that opportunity youth, which is that 16 to 24-year-old? How are we looking at those parents, those grandparents, which were referred to in the previous segment, who are raising children? Looking at all that for the right combination. And it's really about how are we looking at what's working and what's scalable? So when we look at interventions that work around poverty, how are we taking those things to scale so that they're having the impact, so that we're seeing the community move forward? And I think that at Brighton Center, we really support that philosophy of listening to our customers. We do an assessment every 4 years. We're getting ready to start that really looks at our not only stakeholders, but our customers. Because, you know, our core values say, you know, all people have inherent worth and dignity, and people are experts in their own lives. So we want to hear about that. And when we hear them talk about that, the biggest thing that trips them up is they don't know where to start.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the things, I can't remember if you or one of the other folks at Brighton Center told me this when I did those interviews last year, but don't you ask new customers who come in, what are your dreams? Mm-hmm. And I think you or someone there told me that they often have dreams for their children, but the adults, they're not even thinking in terms of dreams for themselves anymore, which is kind of heartbreaking. You know, I mean, you need to have a dream for yourself if you're going to make life better for your whole family.
When people come in, and a lot of folks said, well, when people are in crisis, can you really ask them about their hopes and dreams? Absolutely, because they have them. And sometimes they get detached from them because they're in such crisis. But exactly what Lucy indicated, we hear people talk about hopes and dreams, and it usually has to do, they start with those for their grandchildren, those for their children. They have very definite hopes and dreams for their children. And then they can rail that back to, well, how do I feed into that? And how do my choices lead my child to reach those hopes and dreams? And how do my hopes and dreams impact their ability to reach their hopes and dreams, because it is a whole family or a two-generational approach. And I think that that hopes and dreams approach is a strength-based place to start. It's not starting by saying what's wrong, what's broken. It's about saying, what do you have? What are your assets? You have them. And bringing people back to the reality of that strength-based place of saying, you have hopes and dreams, you have potential, and you can make things happen in your life. And we are here to help you navigate that and help provide tools.
Now, there's several organizations on both sides of the river that are working on the issue of poverty, childhood poverty. So how do you cooperate, how do you coordinate with each other to best meet the needs of the community as a whole?
In Northern Kentucky, we have a pretty groundbreaking initiative called the Safety Net Alliance, and it brings together 133 partner agencies that come around the issues of safety net services and how we build off those services to help people link in and provide their pathway out of poverty. And so it's really unique because the way we work is not just coming together to make announcements, but we're trying to change how we work across, how are we leveraging, how are we creating efficiency and effectiveness. And when I hear, I have friends who are in the business world and they talk about my work versus their work, and really it's so similar because we too are trying to leverage resources to have the biggest impact for our customers. And we really look at how efficient are we and how effective are we and how is a duplication not working, and really changing how individual agencies are working to better the whole. And I think that's been happening for the last 8 years, and we have seen a huge impact on how food travels to families, how waste is changed, how we're looking at housing differently. And really it's about us as agencies coming together, and it started around the crisis when the financial crisis started. We knew we had to work differently, and we took that onus upon ourselves to work differently and to change things.
And so we have had the gift, along with Brighton Center, of being a part of a group of organizations, Financial Opportunity Centers, that started about 8 years ago with LISC, the local LISC organization, along with United Way. And we've been focused, again, on that Earn It, Keep It, Grow It model from Annie E. Casey Foundation. And we all get together and we look at our data, and we'll be at a national conference next week in Chicago looking at best practices across the country and locally for helping to move families out of poverty. The model focuses on three components. Social benefits, supports while you're trying to get out of poverty, employment services, which would include GED and other skills building along the way, and financial coaching. And the several programs that we've been able to really focus on at Santa Maria, number one, we have a Healthy Homes Block by Block initiative, because we know that at a policy level, a lot of work needs to be done. Certainly the collaborative here, the Poverty Collaborative, trying to rethink how Cincinnati addresses a lot of these issues is important. But a lot of issues happen at the neighborhood level, and we're trying to build the networking and resources within the neighborhoods of East and Lower Price Hill to help because of those networks, raise themselves up and out. So there's our Healthy Homes Block by Block initiative hires moms on the block to be captains, to engage families and try to knock on the doors of the most at-risk families who never come through our doors and say, how are you doing? You know, what do you need? We're partnering with Children's Hospital on this initiative. Michael Fisher recently said at a gathering, it shouldn't be that your zip code determines your outcome in life. You know, your genetic code is not even as important as your zip code today, you know. And so if you're born in 45204, 45205, it doesn't matter what, you know, neurons you have. It's truly place-based. And so the moms really try to connect with families on the block and just try to be a resource to them. We also will be bringing the Mission Asset Fund, which will be lending circles that will allow groups of people to come together and put money in the pot and build their credit and all kinds of financial skills and abilities, working with other community members to do that work. And the Family Independence Initiative will be coming through the Greenlight Fund, which is a new foundation here in Cincinnati. And it builds on social networks and cash payments for initiative. So if a family saves money, if a family makes efforts, they actually will be paid for their time and resources to go in those directions and to make positive changes in their lives. And then they have these monthly opportunities to get feedback and support. So we really have focused in on the fact that if I have a Rolodex, I can open my Rolodex and access a bunch of resources to support myself and my family. Our families in Price Hill don't have access to those resources. Harvard's a great education, but more important than the education are the friends you make and the connections you make. Well, how do we help our families have those connections if you were born in Lower Price Hill and you have never left Lower Price Hill in 18 years? So,
and it's building that social capital that you talked about. How are we helping those folks who are feel isolated mm-hmm. build that social capital so they have something to lean into, and they lean into each other, and they lean into each other at many levels? But how do we help that build so that when those crises hit, they're not always looking towards us as social service providers, but we're empowering to look towards each other and to build as a community? And that community piece is huge. We've integrated. There's a lot of similarities into our approach of work from Brighton Center in Santa Maria. We also are a financial opportunity center and have that philosophy. And so we know that those strategies and that bundling of services is a recipe that works.
Melissa, a lot of the talk about dealing with poverty looks at what the government and organizations can do or should do. So the question is, what can individuals do about this?
I think raise awareness. You know, there's a great opportunity coming up this Saturday. We heard about the previous segment, you know, at the Cintas Center to come together and to talk about poverty as a community. It is our neighbors. A lot of folks think when I talked before about you have a job, so therefore everything is okay. Folks who are struggling with poverty and income volatility, which affects how they live and work, our emergency assistance department gives away food and clothing. And 73% of the people coming in are employed. They're working. They're working hard. They're cobbling together those two and three jobs that we heard about before, and they're working. And so as an individual, when you see folks and if you own a small business, what are the struggles that are facing the folks that are trying to work really hard, and how do we build supports as community around that? So how are you getting engaged? How are employers making sure they know how important it is that early childhood programs are quality so that there's places for kids to go while their parents are working where they feel comfortable and where those kids are going to be safe and thriving? And it is an issue for all of us. And how are we all raising the conversation up to say we all have a part of this and we all can make an influence the outcome and really affect the end?
Mm-hmm. Agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And to really use your vote as a proxy power for the types of administrations that you think can help and are interested in addressing these. And I think Mayor Cranley and, you know, that there are, the city is ripe. The corporations have been very generous. The United Way here is one of the top United Ways, people giving, corporations giving in the country. So I think that there are a lot of resources here. And I think that's the heartbreaking thing about it is that for as wealthy a city as Cincinnati is, to have such poor, high poverty rates, such, you know, so many children struggling is, I think everybody's really well ready to step up and address it in any way that they're called on to do.
Shelley, this has been such a long-standing problem. Do you see any signs that this is going to change? Are you hopeful that this is solvable?
I actually am. I'm as hopeful as I've ever been, to be honest. The focus on early childhood and the importance of it and the fact that there's an opportunity possibly to fund it and this initiative to say we think poverty is worth the time and energy that it's getting right now in families and just some of these really high-level national solutions that are being spread through Mission Asset Fund and some of these other initiatives are very exciting. You know, it's and I just think that this generation, this next generation of youth, so I'd say the 19, 20, 21, 20 AmeriCorps workers, and they're focused and ready to give and roll up their shirt sleeves and get to work to fix this.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brighton Center Senior Director of Family Economic Success, Melissa Hall Summer, Santa Maria Community Services Income Impact Director, Chelly McClellan, and WCPO.com, WCPO Insider Reporter, Lucy May.